Welcome to the St. Brigid's podcast. St. Brigid's is a congregation of Christ Church Cathedral, Vancouver, a community where questions are honored, faith is nurtured, and discipleship pursued. Learn more at thecathedral.ca/worship.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Jacob's vision of the ladder of angels, Saint Michael slaying the dragon, Jesus telling Nathanael that he will see the heavens open, the feast of Michael and all angels certainly has some adventure to it. We had this afternoon evensong here at the cathedral to celebrate Michaelmas, or Michaelmas, depending on how you say it. A feast day that has an array of strange and wonderful traditions. I've heard some people here at the cathedral share stories of being at school, like in Catholic school or school here, or in other parts of the world, where they have like a harvest festival, or they eat a fattened goose, or even more strange, games about chasing away puppets of Satan. Without having taken part in any of these myself, I think it's fascinating to think of all the ways that we've celebrated this weird day in the history of the church. And if there is one saint who brings out intrigue or fascination like no other, it is Saint Michael. And this is totally understandable. If you make very little reference to someone, other than to say he is more powerful than all the angels that there have ever been, and then you say he slays a dragon and banishes Satan from heaven, then you are going to have people speculate about it. The book of Revelation is unto itself a headache for even the most seasoned biblical scholar. And so, therefore, much has been written and much has been spoken of and much has been prayed of in the name of St. Michael over the years. To help translate and hopefully inspire you today with St. Michael, I want to first look at the vision that Jacob has in Genesis. Jacob goes to sleep by the side of the road, uses a rock for a pillow because that's comfy, and has a vision of a ladder between the earth and heaven with angels ascending and descending. We all have crazy dreams when our pillow's a bit uncomfy, right? This image is a vision of God's promise to Jacob that he will find his place and his descendants will be God's people. Now, this may sound like, to our ears, like a fun little dream of fluffy white kids with stuck-on wings from the Christmas pageant climbing up and down ladders, but this is a much more serious vision to Jacob. You see, in the way that people in ancient Israel understood the world, God worked through intercessors who played out God's plan on earth. Rather than simply a person to pray to, angels were celestial beings with actual power who could influence the outcomes of battles and war. If you've heard the phrase the Lord of hosts in the Bible, this is because this is what they were referring to. The host of an army, God's army, who interceded between heaven and earth through these mysterious angels. So Jacob's vision of the angels who are ascending and descending the ladder is God telling Jacob that Jacob will have the favor of God's army for the purpose of establishing God's people's place in the world. This is also why when angels come and meet people in the book of Daniel or the visit of Mary, there is genuine uncertainty and people need to be told not to be afraid. So, using this knowledge about angels, we introduce Michael. We can see that this character is really set up to be something incredible, essentially one step removed from God, who has the power to banish Satan. But what does this mean to us today? If you're anything like me, this may have sounded really cool as a kid, but maybe after a few years of healthy skepticism, this sounds a little bit too much like fantasy. Which is great. I mean, I'd watch a movie of Michael slaying the dragon any day, but how does it actually fit with my worldview and my faith? The question, I think, comes back again to how we think of angels and saints. That is to say, rather than viewing the world as a seemingly impenetrable expanse of cosmic warfare, we have to think of intercession in the way that we address our struggles, our challenges through life, and our expressions of joy and gratitude. Those who have been praying through the saints don't need to explain every detail of that character or that person's history. It is about what they represent to us in our relationship with God. So for Michael, and maybe you've heard the prayer or prayed the prayer yourself, for the darkness to be penetrated by the sword of St. Michael. What is being said is not a prayer of cosmic battle, but a personal prayer. That we may overcome the presence of failure and shame that holds us back in our lives. Whether that be our inner confidence, our inner struggles of self-worth, or our fears of not being ready to be who God has made us to be in the world. Prayers that speak to the intercessor of power in St. Michael are as much about us believing in ourselves to make a difference in the world, to live up to the gifts that we have to be true to ourselves, to share our creativity and passions for the world in a time where we are confronted by countless examples of people who have more talent and more experience than us. We bring our whole selves to do the work of God in the world. We are being told by the world around us in so many ways that we are ordinary. And being on our own, we are held within the bounds of our own abilities. But the meaning of prayer is that we are stronger together. We find meaning and purpose through the lives of those who have paved the way and those we share this life with. The darkness being pierced by Michael's sword is finding company in a time of loneliness. It is sharing a message of hope and solidarity in a time of despair. It is finding grace and comfort in the sanctuary of peace. In our time of prayer and intercessions, shortly we will be saying this prayer. With Michael and the host of heaven, we may end ancient conflicts and pave the way for justice, kindness, and humility. For the archangel who slayed the dragon, our comfort comes from knowing that our place in God's care exists through God's insurmountable love for us. Our comfort comes from being united as a people brought in light together. Here at St. Bridget's, we come back to the four simple words of St. Julian: all shall be well. All shall be well is not a personal promise. This is definitely not a claim that everything works out in the end or that everything happens for a reason, because I don't believe that. But I do believe that our God, the Creator, through this world or the next, all things shall indeed be well, that all manner of things shall be well. Amen.